Okay, I'm going to teach about the Good Shepherd. And that image of the shepherd is something that God has shown in His Word, throughout His Word, to show His care, His love, and His relationship to us. And the idea of shepherding spans the whole expanse of the Bible. It starts in Genesis, and the last record of the shepherd is in Revelations, when Jesus Christ comes back with His saints, and we will be with Him there, and He will be the shepherd. So this idea of the shepherd is something that the people from the Bible lands understood. It was a part of their everyday life, and they knew the value of the sheep that they shepherded. The sheep provided food, wool, sheepskin, and they lived a life of self-sustainment. So they relied on the sheep. In fact, they realized their value to the point where they would stay with them night and day to protect them. So so that's really important to understand where that comes from, and that's what God wants to show. That same value that He puts in your life, that same care, and that same shepherding. Now, I want to kind of expand your understanding of what a shepherd is today. And we're going to do that by looking at one word. The word is reconcile. And the definition of it is to bring back together something of value. And then not only bring it back together, but keep it together. Do the reconciling necessary to keep that relationship and to keep it together. So that's the definition of reconcile. Now, that word reconcile in the Hebrew is raha. In the Aramaic is rahe, R-A-E-A. And then it's also tarath, which we find a lot in the New Testament. And you know what that word means, reconcile? It means to shepherd. Isn't that interesting? We hear a lot about what Jesus Christ did, what God was able to do through Him. He reconciled us. Literally means He shepherded us. So it's just a beautiful understanding. And I'd like to go today through the Old Testament, give you an example of exactly what those attributes of a shepherd is. Not only to as a shepherd to his sheep, but to us personally. And then I would like to go and look at the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, and then we're going to end up in the church epistles. Believe it or not, the whole idea of shepherding is still alive for us today in the church epistles. So the first place we're going to go is Psalm 23, verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This literally means, I will not perish, I will not suffer damage, be needy, injured, or harmed, because God is my shepherd. He's shepherding me. Verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me by the still waters." So in the mornings, in the cultures that shepherd, they have their sheep enclosed at night. And in the morning, they go in there to the enclosure and they bring the sheep out. And their first task is to feed them. And so they take them to pastures. And they pick the best pastures. They pick the best food for the sheep, because they want them to be strong, healthy. I mean, it's part of their livelihood, right? So this is what God does for us. He takes us. God always does the best. And He gives us the best food in His Word, and He leads us by Holy Spirit. And so, and then, when we are filled just like the sheep, we can rest. And when He takes them by still waters, the sheep were afraid of any water that was moving too quickly. They were frightened. And for us, the still waters reminds me of be still and know that I am God. And it also reminds me of that saying, the greatest cargoes in life come in over quiet seas. And that means that the cargo ships out at sea, if the water is too rough going into port, they wait out there in the deep waters so that they can come in safely, and then they unload their cargo. Same way with God. He wants us to be at peace, and he leads us to be at peace so that we can receive from him. And that's when we receive, is when we're peaceful and trusting God. So let's take a look at verse 3. It says, he restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And it says, when he restores my soul, it's literally, he turns me back from error. This is what God does in our life. And he leads me on the paths of integrity and truth. Now, sometimes in the flock, a lamb or a sheep would, find itself separated. They'd wander off. They wouldn't be paying attention. What the shepherd would do is he'd take his staff, which had a hook on it, he'd go out and get that sheep and bring it back into the flock. And that's where the correction and the guidance comes into play from God. He brings us back into fellowship with him. So that's just a wonderful metaphor there. And it says, yea, in verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That shadow of death is actually a valley of shadow. Now stop and think about the sheep. They're prey. And just a little trivia here for you. Animals of prey always have their eyes on the sides of their head. And the predators always have their eyes straight ahead. So the sheep are always looking around because they're prey. They're somebody's dinner, okay? And the predator is looking straight at what he wants, and he's charging for it. Well, in this situation, the shepherd is the one looking. He's the one that's taking the care of the sheep where they don't have to fear. They can eat and get their bellies full. Same way with God. You know, there are so many things that God does for us that we're not aware of sometimes. He always has our back. He's always blessing us, and he's always caring for us and making sure that we're not harmed. Same way. It's the shepherd. So, and then it says, I will fear no evil, because they depend on the shepherd. We depend on God. And the thing is, we can go out to pasture and get our bellies full, just like the sheep. We don't have to be afraid. So let's look at verse 5. It says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So again, there could be in that valley of darkness, there could be predators all out there. But God's like, I lay it out for you. I lay it out for you. You don't have to worry about that. You come and feast on what I've given you, the greatness of what I've given you. And this oil that it talks about, you anoint my head with oil. This, the shepherd would do if he had an injured sheep. He would put oil on them, and then he would watch them. He would keep that sheep with him so that it would be cared for until it was well. So, and then in verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, or the house of my shepherd. So it's a wonderful, these are some wonderful attributes of God that he shows as our shepherd and our reconciler. He brought us back to the flock for us in this administration, the body of Christ, and he keeps us there. And you know, out of any other administration, we have so much to work with. We have Holy Spirit. We have the functioning of the body of Christ. We have the mystery revealed, which is Christ in us, and Jews and Gentiles, fellow heirs, and all of that. We're one body. So this is what God has to work with us, you know, for us in this administration. Now we're going to take a look at John chapter 10. And we're going to look at the Good Shepherd. That's what Jesus Christ refers to himself as, the Good Shepherd. Now stop and think about it. Jesus Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you've seen the Good Shepherd, you've seen the Great Shepherd. And Jesus Christ showed how God loved and how he shepherded, how he took care. And Jesus Christ is the reconciler. So let's take a look at John chapter 10. And in verse 1 through 4, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Let's drop down to verse 9. And Jesus Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any other man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So understanding this in the biblical culture, they had like an enclosure for the sheep, and it was made out of stones, like a stone wall that went all the way around, and then there was an opening to go in and out. Well, the shepherd would sleep in that doorway. He was the doorway. So that way, when he was sleeping, he could hear if somebody was trying to climb over the wall and steal one of the sheep. Or he could hear one of the sheep that might be crying and in need. He was right there. And Jesus Christ was saying, I am the door. I am the one. I am the way. I am the way in, and I am the way out. So in the morning, when he took his sheep out, they knew him. We know him. We hear that word, it resonates in our heart, and we believe who Jesus Christ is and what he did. We know his voice. We know the word. It resonates, like I said. So he takes them out, and he takes them out to pasture. And, you know, it's interesting. I was talking with our oldest daughter. She's married and has 4 kids, lives in Baton Rouge. And she has a farm. She has a menagerie of animals. I mean, it's crazy what she's done there. And one of the things she has are 4 goats, and she milks them every day. She said they give her maybe 1.5 quarts of milk every day. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, we want to get together, have them come to California. And she said, you know, Mom, I really, really, you know, we want to. The only problem I have is finding somebody to take care of my goats. And she said, you know, my goats know me. And she said, each one of those goats I milk a different way because they, you know, they like to be treated a little differently. They're all, you know, they've all got their own personalities, you know. And she's like, it's going to really be hard finding somebody who can do that. Well, you know, it's the same way. You know, we know the Master's voice. And I just thought that was a really sweet analogy when she shared that with me. I'm like, I'm going to use that. Anyway, so then let's look at verse 10. We all know this, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. One thing I didn't mention is that the shepherd, it was actually in Psalms, where thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, the rod that the shepherd used, he would actually use it as a weapon. If there was any threat coming for the sheep, he could use that rod, and quite often that rod had a big head on it, and some of them even had nails coming out of them. So he could wield that rod and fend off any predators, and depending on the predator, it could take his life. I mean, he could be fighting to the death to defend the sheep. Well, Jesus Christ, and you know, when the shepherd used the rod and fought with these animals, cougars, wolves, whatever, he wasn't expecting to die, right? Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, he knew that was his to do. He gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life for us, for all mankind. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he walked his walk, lived his ministry, knowing that he was the shepherd that was going to give his life. So, and that's why he's called the Good Shepherd. So let's go now into the church epistles. And these places I'm going to take you to, you're going to see the word reconcile, reconciled, and I want us to put the word shepherd, shepherded in there, because those words, according to the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic, mean the same thing. So let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 10. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled or shepherded to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled or shepherded, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. And that word atonement is reconciliation or shepherding. We have now received the shepherding from God because of Jesus Christ. So there's two aspects of shepherding we see and reconciliation really in this verse. We see that Jesus Christ did the reconciling. He was the good shepherd. And now we can be shepherded or reconciled by God. Isn't that a beautiful, that the words, how they interchange there? I also just want to note, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18 is where we're going to go next. This is where I want to make a note. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 talks about that spirit. It says, let's look there real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because as we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's that Orientalism. That word constraineth is an Orientalism, which means, and that culture, same culture as the shepherds, if I were to invite you for lunch and, I can't make it today, I would invite you again, and I would invite you three times. That's what constraining means. So in this whole idea of shepherding and reconciling, God uses that Christ in us to constrain us, to try to bring us back, to bring us into the fold, to keep us in the fold. That's that constraining, that Christ in us that he put in us in this administration. So I just thought that was worth noting. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18. It says in 17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled or shepherded us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation or shepherding. So stop and think about it. Before we were reconciled, we were sheep without a pastor. And we didn't have the shepherd. We were out there in the world all by ourselves, eating subpar food that was killing us, really, you know. And God came through Jesus Christ and shepherded us back, gave us a new image. He gave us a new pastor. He gave us new food to eat. And now we have fellowship with in that reconciliation and with each other in the body of Christ. So that's just beautiful how that shepherding and reconciliation works there. Verse 19, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, to wit, that God was in Christ shepherding the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of shepherding. So, God was in Christ, Christ was in us, and Jesus Christ was the good shepherd that laid down his life. And you know, he didn't just do it for us that believe. That life that he gave is still drawing. It's still trying to shepherd the world back to God. That's what God is using, is the sacrifice of the good shepherd to bring back the lost sheep. So, and he's even doing this today. Verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This literally means, as if God were begging you by way of us, on behalf of Christ, come, be shepherded by God. So let's take one last look. We're going to go to is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. The context of these scriptures is the Jews and Gentiles. They were enemies. There was a wall between them. But not only was there a wall between them, there was a wall between them and God. There's a wall between us and God. And we're going to see how God breaks down that wall of partition. It says in verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so maketh peace, and that he might reconcile or shepherd both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So these two groups of people were enemies to God and to each other, but God broke down that wall between them, and he broke down the wall between us and him, and he brought us into one new body, one new flock, and he gave us pasture, new pasture, a new identity. He became our shepherd so that we could both be shepherded by God. So in conclusion, I just really want our hearts to be open to the idea of God shepherding us. The love that he expresses is in that metaphor that he uses so often through the Bible, how he wants us to be close to us. He wants us to be close to each other in that flock. You know, we're the body of Christ, each member in particular, and he wants to take care of us. And he's taking care of us even when we're not aware of it. So that's my sharing this morning on the Lord is our shepherd. I'll end with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to you for your great love. We thank you for how you know each one of us individually, just like the shepherd should. You know each one of our needs. You know what's the very best for us, and you've given us the very best. So we just thank you for that this morning. We thank you for each one here and each one that's on the conference call. And we thank you, God, that you've touched their life and that they can look to you with great trust and encouragement. So we thank you for these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.